rocks, and other seed fell in the weeds, and then there was some of the seed fell on good ground. Praise the Lord. And in explaining this parable, Jesus tells us what the seed was. In Luke 8, verse 11, he says this. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. And so that means Jesus himself actually was the seed in this parable. Because Jesus is the Word of God. In John chapter 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so the Word, when you talk about the Word, you're just talking about Jesus. There's a version of the Word that is written down. That's our Bible. That's one version of the Word. There's a version of the Word that's came to the world as flesh. And that was Jesus. And then there's also another version of the word that's written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus came, but he was received differently by different people. And that's interesting because I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that people can take the opposite views of the same information. And one can see up and one can see down and that kind of thing. I'm sure that's never happened in your houses, though. But anyway, the parable of the sower, there are four ways that people receive or don't receive the Word. This is how they're going to react to the Word of God. This is how they react to Jesus. And everyone fits into one or more of these categories. Your heart can be described by one or more of the conditions that Jesus talks about in this parable. And so the conditions that Jesus describes, they tell us something about ourselves. That tells us how we will receive or reject the Word. The first condition described is that of the path. The path has compacted soil. And I took a master gardening class one time. We talked about compacted soil. You know, sometimes you can't get grass to grow, so you have to go out there and you have to aerate it, you know, and they pull the plugs up out of it, break the ground up so that the seed can grow. But, you know, it gets so hard where it's packed down, you know, it's just a bare spot. It looks like concrete. And so seed that's dropped on the path, it just sits there on the top, and it makes it easy for the birds to come along and gobble it up. You know, during the harvest season in Iowa, you know, you'll see birds on the road picking up spilled grain. And you'll never find corn growing in the middle of the highway, the next year. That may change in a few years, but anyway. But right now, that doesn't happen. It gets ate up. And so the path, the path describes a hard heart. That's what that's about. And some hearts are so hard that when someone with a hard heart hears the Word of God, it just doesn't have any impact on them. It's like it just went on by. The devil just immediately steals it away from them. In Mark chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, it says, as he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may ever be hearing and seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. And, Jesus, he says that the ability to understand God's Word is a gift from God. And, God isn't a respecter of persons. Anyone can receive the Word of God that wants to. But some people simply will not make room for it in their heart. And the truth given in the form of a parable is simply a sign that says, you're not going to listen anyway. So we'll just tell you about a parable you can't understand because it doesn't really make any difference. And the equivalent today of that would really be someone, giving a message in tongues. And again, it's like a sign to unbelievers, you're not going to listen anyway, so blah, 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 blah. The Lord is great. But, it's not going to be received, so there's no sense really saying it where it could be understood. It's the path. That's the hard ground. The second condition that Jesus describes is seed that falls in the rocks. And so it's not completely hard, it's just got a lot of rocks there. And so the seed, it sprouts up real quickly. It finds enough dirt that it can, break out. And, you know, some people have stony hearts, but there isn't much fertile soil. So when it sprouts up, it, you know, it quickly sprouts, but then it quickly dies. Some people, they'll get all excited when they first hear the word. In fact, they can seem like they're the most excited people you've ever seen. And I mean, and so that you know, they'll just think, man, that is great. They hear the gospel news and it's just like music to their ears. They jump on it. But as soon as someone mocks them, or as soon as they face some troubles, they just give up on that walk out. They walk away from that really quick. And, you know, in other words, if they're not immediately lifted up by angels, you know, carried to the infield or end zone, then they're out of there. They don't want any part of that. In this life, you're going to face some trials. In this life, you're going to face some tests. Tests don't come from God, but they come from the devil. And so some people, as soon as they're tested, they just quit. And then there are people whose hearts that are like the weed patch. And I think that describes the majority of people. I know I have to deal with weeds in my life to this day. You know, they'll start to grow in the knowledge of God, and they'll put some roots down. Their life begins to change. Maybe they overcome alcoholism or some other stronghold in their life. You know, maybe their marriages are restored. It could be any number of things. But what happens to them is they cannot withstand the constant pressure that life throws at them. One of three things will bring them down, and that's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, or the pride of life. And the devil will work against them. Worries, deceit, desires get to them, and it just chokes that wart out of them. And so they started their race. They ran their race. They went along, but as time went on, they just couldn't withstand the battle. And so, you know, and they accept Jesus in their hearts, but they can't put their trust fully in Him. And so in the end, at some point, they dump Jesus and they take matters into their own hands. And these are those that are planted among the weeds. They grow for a while. They withstand being tested, but they never mature. In other words, it'd be like an apple tree that grows for years and years, but for some reason it never bears any apples. And so they endure for a season, but they lack the ability to preserve until the very end. And that's the seed that's sown amongst the weeds. And that describes the seed that falls. And anyway, if you have been a Christian for very long, I guarantee you that you know someone who fits one of these categories. Or all of us, like I said, fit into one of these at one time or another. You know, maybe you were on fire, but then you begin to back off. Or you failed to advance for a season in your life. Maybe you just never ever got, you know, you just never received Jesus, period. The good news is, though, is that bad ground can be fixed. You can break up fallow ground. You can restore a path to good soil. You know, they can tear out a railroad track and all the tracks and the rocks and everything, and they can farm there again. You can break up the soil that forms the path. You can pick up the rocks, you know, and let's leave a good soil there so that you can have a crop. You can get rid of weeds. And so Jesus, he was a seed. And he's the Word of God. And each of us must decide what that means to us and how we're going to receive that truth. Is he someone that we cannot go without, or is he dispensable? Good soil never gives up. That's what makes the difference in all the kinds of soils. That good soil, it never gives up. Today, many people come to Christ. Never before has the gospel been preached like it has been today. With TV and internet and all the things there are, there's a lot of people come to Jesus. But there's a lot of them also that leave Jesus. The promise is not that we will never face trials and tribulations. In fact, the opposite is true. We are promised that we will face many trials and tribulations in this life. And so it's important for us, knowing this, that we guard the soil that's in our hearts. That we don't just leave it up for happenstance. That we don't give a chance for the weeds you know, to seal the hope that we once professed. The good news is we have already overcome through Jesus Christ. John 16:33 says this, I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And by inference, we have overcome the world. You know, in the eighth grade, is there any eighth graders here? Who's in eighth grade? No eighth grader? Seventh grader? I got a seventh grader there. Come on up here, Michael. You seventh grade? You probably don't want to be a football player. This is about a football player. Well, maybe. All right, you don't have to stay here very long. But okay, so he's seventh grade, so he's a little younger than I was. But imagine this. When I was in eighth grade, I was the same height that I am right now. How'd you like to be on my football team? And the only thing was I was just shy of 200 pounds. So in eighth grade, I was a big kid. You can go sit down, Michael. I was a giant in the eighth grade. I loved the Lord very much at that time in my life. And I was new at this particular school. We had just moved, and I went to school, and it was, of course, football season. It was the first year that I got to play tackle football. Put on a helmet and pads and all that, and get out there and be a ruffian. That was my first year doing that. And one of the practice drills that we had was to stand between these two cones. And then everyone would line up in single file against you. And when the coach blew the whistle, the first man in line, he would charge at you and he would try to block you out, knock you out from between the cones. And of course, your job was to stand them up, displace them, deflect them, whatever the case was, and stay in that spot. And that's how the drill went. And you just tried not to get knocked out. And so I wasn't the most talented player in the eighth grade. I'm going to tell you this right now. I couldn't throw a ball. Still can't throw a ball. I wasn't really good at running. I wasn't good at catching. I wasn't good at speed. But I decided that I was going to be the toughest kid on the team. And if you knocked the guy out who you're trying to block, you know, then you got to take his place. And so that didn't take me very long. And I find myself, I'm standing between the two cones, and the coach sent every boy on the team through that line, and not one of them could knock me out. And that's when he began to blow the whistle a little faster. And I still get choked up thinking about it because I really felt the strength of God come over me. And that whistle, it was blowing faster and faster. And I remember everything started to become a blur. But a man would charge, you know, and I'd hit him, stand him up, throw him this way, hit him, throw him that way, whatever I could do. And they were just coming by me right and left. And I'd hit and throw and hit again and deflect. And I'd keep hearing that whistle. Chirp, chirp, chirp. And they just keep coming. And then I heard, after a while, I heard a rapid fire whistle. Chirp, 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 chirp. And when all those boys hit me at once, I remember beginning to go over backwards. And it was like the movies. And I just let go. Once I was going over, I just totally released myself. I let go and all the energy is drained out of me. And I drifted to the ground in what seemed like slow motion. And I remember the coach, he came to me later and he apologized. Because I was crying. But it wasn't the kind of tears he thought they were. I was crying because of the adrenaline or the joy. I mean, I was exhilarated. But I learned a lesson. With God, I can do all things. But I also learned that no matter how strong I was, I could never be strong enough. See, Jesus, he died for you. He died so that no matter how often, how fast, or how long the devil hits you, you will always overcome. Even when you're down, you're up. But you must decide what kind of soil you're going to be. If you will let the seed be planted in you, if you will work the ground, if you'll let it grow and mature and never give up, you'll receive a crown. Your soil will produce a crop. And you will not be embarrassed and you will not be destroyed. You'll be lifted up. You know, the distractions of this world that we live in today, they're great. But God is greater. And His promises are superior. But you must believe. Without the help of each other, many will give up. Many will succumb to the weeds or to whatever condition of the heart it is. They're just going to give up. They'll be overwhelmed by the worries of this life or the desires of their flesh. You know, you hear people talk about having an accountability partner. But for us, you know, that's the church. That's where we go to keep our head on straight. That's where we go to keep the rocks out and the weeds down. Don't let your pride get in the way of your need for the body of Christ. Come be a part of the body. Receive Jesus. And then don't leave your commitment to Him up to chance. Don't give yourself the option to change your mind in a few hours. Don't leave the devil an opportunity to discourage you. Come be a part of a family. Yotam. Do I have a slide? Yotam. That's a term that I made up this year. And it stands for the year of the meeting. I know when you get old, you get corny. But it has a good point, a good meaning to it. You know, it's all about staying on top of the game. Staying connected, not getting separated by hurts or disappointments or offenses and just stuff that happens. Just the failings of humanity. It's about gathering the scattered sheep who have been cut off. It's about watching over each other in these confusing times that we live in, so that no one is cut off and lost. Hebrews 10:24 says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." How can we help each other? Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So the world, they just go the opposite direction. They drift away, they get cut off, they never come to Jesus. The word is not fruitful in their lives, but for us, it's supposed to be different. And this is our hour to shine. And so I just invite you and encourage you to know the Lord, to let the seed be planted in your heart, to be receptive to what God wants to speak to you and to your life. So just be willing to have Him in your life. And He will guide you and He'll lead you and He'll speak to you. And He'll use many ways to do that. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Is there anyone here today that you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you'd like to do that? You'd like to pray with me, and you don't have to come to the front of the church to receive Jesus, but if you would like to pray, I'd like to pray with you today. I'm going to ask everyone just to pray this prayer with me, and if you haven't prayed this before and you mean it, then your life is going to change right now. Just pray this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to this world, that He died for my sins and was raised on the third day for my life and my blessings. And I believe He's seated now at the right hand of the Father. And I accept Him into my heart. Thank you so much, Jesus, for saving me and loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's good to be a Christian. And The greatest thing about being a Christian is you do not have to be perfect. And in fact, you never get to be perfect. And just love the Lord, and he will accomplish the task in you if you will simply let him. Praise God.